This morning's scripture lessons are from the Gospels, first from Luke and then from Matthew, two parables about the same thing. From Luke chapter 7. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman of the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." "A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said, "Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And then from Matthew 18. "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. And he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We have all heard great stories of forgiveness. I remember one from my childhood. There was a missionary family, I believe it was to some place in South America, I don't remember that part, but I know that the missionaries were killed there, murdered. the children grew up and became missionaries and went back to the same people who had murdered their parents. We know those kinds of stories of forgiveness, and we know personal ones, perhaps a family or at work where the end was the glory of forgiveness. And then we wonder, could we do that? Do we have that ability to forgive? Could we, after some deep injury, summon up that greatness of soul that would be necessary for such a deed as forgiveness? Could we meet that test? Or would pride or bitterness or memory or whatever keeps us from such a divine act as forgiveness take over? How do we know what we would do? Could we find the power and the ability and, most important, the want to forgive? Do we have to face a tragedy or some awful treachery in order to measure ourselves? Jesus on the cross looked into the face of those who were driving the nails into his hands and feet and said, "Father, forgive them." And we know intellectually and we know religiously that we should be willing to do that. But could we? Or must we? Or will we? Because all of us will have the opportunity to forgive or not. So let's look at forgiveness, not just in some textbook or some discourse on theology, but let's look at it in life as we find it recorded for us in the scriptures, and let's look no place less than the very life of Jesus himself. In that first scripture lesson, we find Jesus is invited to a dinner by Simon, a Pharisee, who is anxious to find out about this Galilean, this self-styled rabbi who's getting so popular and everyone's talking about him. And so Simon, to be at the cusp of society and culture, invites Jesus over for a dinner party. Now Simon, thinking about Jesus and thinking that he's from such a meager background, Nazareth, thought it was unnecessary to offer to Jesus the common courtesies of the day. Water to wash his feet. Palestine's a hot, dusty country. A common, polite greeting. Today it would be a handshake, in those days it was a kiss. And then oil. Remember, it was a hot, dry country, and oil was always available for guests as a little refreshment. Shortly after they sat down to eat, a very strange thing happened. In that time and place, access to homes was pretty easy, especially to the courtyard. And a well-known lady of the evening disgraces Simon by coming onto his property and entering his courtyard. And she approaches Jesus, weeping so much that she literally washes his feet with her tears. And then she lets her hair down. That act itself in that time and culture was a degrading act. She dries Jesus' feet with her hair and kisses his feet and then anoints them with a very costly ointment, probably nard. Well, Simon is chagrined by all of this, that she would dare enter his house, but he passes it off by saying to himself, "Well, I was right all along. This Galilean rabbi, he certainly isn't a prophet. If he was, he'd known what kind of woman, who this is and what she is, and he would have never allowed her to even touch her. He would have sent her away if he was anybody." And at that moment, Jesus tells Simon that little parable about forgiveness, and Simon agrees that the more one is forgiven, the more grateful one should be. And then Jesus makes his point. The woman had washed Jesus' feet, felt that her greeting and oil were not good enough. And so she bestows them on his feet. Even servants at that time were never asked to wash their master's feet. That was just too low an act. And why did she do all that? Because she had heard what he said about the love of God, about the necessity for repentance, and about the availability of forgiveness, and her response to all of that was gratitude. It just followed. And then Jesus says to Simon, where little has been forgiven, little love is shown. Now that sounds polite, but it wasn't polite. It was very pointed. Let me retranslate that for you. Simon, if you truly knew the love of God, you too would feel the need to forgive as you have been forgiven. You're not loving, and therefore it follows you're not forgiven. If you were, your attitude and your behavior would be a lot different. That's not Jesus' exact words, but that's what he meant. And it is with this that we can pinpoint Jesus' teachings on forgiveness. First, prior to forgiveness, a need for pardon has to be felt. That woman felt it deeply. Simon hadn't even considered the possibility of forgiveness for the likes of her. And as for himself, well, he was a decent sort of chap. He paid his temple tax. He went to all the right religious holidays. And he didn't feel any guilt. So why ask for forgiveness? And that's pretty natural. Nobody likes guilt. We run away from guilt. It's not very easy to deal with. It's difficult to admit when we're wrong, when we've sinned. I mean, who likes to do that? And we all know that we're all sinners, and so let's just not get hung up at admitting the obvious. Well, let's just not think about that. But that's not a real state of affairs. And a real state of affairs is always best. And once you and I can admit to not being perfect, and refusing to think about sin is pretending to be perfect, then we don't have to waste all that energy trying to pretend to ourselves that we are. And with that, we're ready to ask for forgiveness. So properly prepared, then we can accept it, and we can respond in a way as to demonstrate to other people, but mostly to ourselves, that it's really happened. Then we can be grateful to God for the blessings we have. And we can respond in such a way that rather than pretending that we're just such good friends with God because God is so pleased with us, no, we're forgiven. Forgiveness is almost free. All God asks is that we admit our need and then express gratitude for the forgiveness. And our response is important. Sometimes we like to pretend it isn't, so we don't have to dwell on it. But it is important, lest we think something so easily gained is cheap. It's not. It cost the blood of Christ on the cross. In that second parable, we are taught how to run a check on our forgiveness status. Always a good idea to do that. If we're truly forgiven, and we know it and we feel it, we're going to be quick to forgive. Now, all of us are very knowledgeable about other people's guilt. We know about that. We know what others have done amiss, especially if they've done it to us, let alone God. But only when we realize that we accompany others in the presence of God as forgiven sinners, then we will experience that pardon, and then we're going to truly accept each other as brothers and sisters who have been forgiven. In a word, This parable teaches us that real apprehension of forgiveness, real appreciation of it, always results in reciprocation. Always. Since being forgiven and knowing how to feel it means being ready and willing to forgive, we need to think about that. In God's wisdom, He has tied His forgiveness to ours. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart, so my Heavenly Father will do to every one of you. That's not natural. Natural is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and that's a lot more to our liking and our understanding of human nature. That's the way it is. And forgiveness is illogical. It doesn't make sense for us to forgive someone who's hurt us, to excuse an enemy and give him another chance to hurt us. Forgiveness is not practical until we need it. Until in a fit of anger we speak a word that we can't take back. Until we pretend not to see our duty as a Christian and then our conscience keeps us awake all night. Until we feel the righteous indignation of someone else we have hurt or harmed and wish with all our hearts that they would forgive us, it's then that forgiveness seems to be the only answer. And it is the only answer. And it's not just nice. Forgiveness is God's way of neutralizing guilt and shame. It's just as right to say it is God's way of neutering guilt and shame. It's very powerful and long-lasting. It is His way of canceling the debt of sin. It's His way of saying the old has passed away and the new is fresh. And if we are His children, then we're going to do that. Well, can we? How do we test our ability to forgive? How do we test our ability to accept God's love and forgiveness and then be loving and forgiving in turn? Well, I wanted to find a way to end this sermon with a great illustration of forgiveness, and I found one. It's about a man who actually forgave another man who sicked his vicious dog on the first man's daughter. It was a terrible attack. Lots of stitches and plastic surgery needed. And it was touching to hear the first man, the man with the daughter, say that with forgiveness, that's how he was able to believe in God and get some relief from the hate and the anger that he had toward the second man. However, that illustration doesn't work for most of us, thank God. But there is something that all of us can identify with rather easily, and that's family. I know of no place where forgiveness is more needed than in a family. I mean, it's there that we live in close relationship with other people. And when we're in close relationship with other people, the need to forgive and be forgiven is absolutely guaranteed to arise. And yet, for some reason, have you noticed that we are quicker to forgive perfect strangers quicker than we'll forgive a family member? A mere acquaintance will just, well, okay, I'm done with that. But family grudges, they go on for years. Well, example's the best teacher. It's also the most expensive, but it is the best teacher. And if we want our children to forgive, then we must not only forgive them. Here comes the hard part. We have to ask them to forgive us. And here's the toughest question of the morning. When is the last time we said, I'm sorry, to our children? I don't know any perfect parents. And so I know that sooner or later, we parents have to ask our children for forgiveness. But I don't know any perfect children either. And that means that sooner or later, if we do our duty and privilege as a parent and say to our kids when we've really hurt them or we've done something wrong, forgive me. Sooner or later, if we do that, our child, as he becomes or she becomes a young adult, will say to us, I'm sorry. And not just excuse me, but I'm sorry. I didn't learn that from you. And I don't want you to be disappointed in me. And I need your forgiveness because you're important to me. And at that point, that child becomes a young adult. I don't know any parent whose heart wouldn't melt when that happens. One more I don't know. I don't know any people better than parents and children at forgiving. But I do know that Jesus Christ taught us to call God Father, which means that we are all His children, and that His forgiveness is more powerful than any sin, and so is ours. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, as we hear your word, fill us with your Spirit. Soften our hearts that we may delight in your presence. Sharpen our minds that we may discern your truth. And shape our wills that we may desire your ways. We ask this for Jesus' sake and ours. Amen.